Jeremiah chapter 8 in your Bible with me this morning. What an interesting passage of Scripture. And just as by way of background, and then I'll help to make the application today, Jeremiah the prophet, he wrote to Judah on essentially the eve of their Babylonian captivity. The other prophets had warned that Israel, Judah, would be taken captive by Babylon because of her sins. Judah had woefully and grievously sinned against God. Watch this. In worshiping other gods. Now, that was the key. There were other problems that they had as a nation. They had issues socially where they were not treating the impoverished as they should. There was even some level of persecution against those that were poor. And Jeremiah talks about that. But one of the key sins of the nation of Judah was that they were worshiping multiple gods. Now, follow me on this. It was not that the worship of Jehovah God had been excluded. Though certainly the worship of Jehovah God had been abbreviated, Jehovah was still worshipped in Judah. But what they did is they added other gods to their worship so that one could worship as he pleased this god over here, whether it be Baal or Ashtaroth. One could worship here, and one could worship another pagan god, maybe a god of the Phoenicians. They had multiple gods, and they were influential sometimes in Israel's history when there was backsliding. So that rather than just worship Jehovah, there were a multiplicity of gods that could be worshipped, and because Judah was God's chosen people, Israel, the apple of God's eye, God said, because of the multiplicity of gods, I will bring judgment on the nation. Now, understand this morning, America is not Israel. However, America was founded as a Christian nation. And I wonder if God's judging hand will long be stayed for us as we multiply heathen gods in our land. This land initially founded by Christian people for the worship of Christ, I can almost wonder if God's judging hand will be stayed. I'm not sure on that point. But Jeremiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lived in an age and time when Judah was on the eve of an invasion. Her sins had become so grievous in the sight of God that very shortly God would send the Babylonians to come and to carry away captive the people, to cease the temple worship, and essentially decimate the land. But in Jeremiah chapter 8, even in this late hour, even in the 11th hour when the darkness was beginning to gather on the horizon, even when, as it were, they could almost see the dust clouds rise from the Babylonian horses' hoof beating as they headed toward Judah, in that late hour, Jeremiah said, "If you will repent, deliverance is possible." Even when it had gone that far, even when the hardness of heart had gone that far, Jeremiah's message, and by the way, this was preached initially in the temple. Jeremiah's message was this: you've gone a long way from God, but there's still hope. My mother had a little saying. Now, some of the ladies in this audience, men in this audience, may have heard it. Have you ever had someone ask you this question, what's ailing you? Anyone ever had that? That's kind of an old-fashioned way. In other words, why are you sick? What's ailing you? Today, there is a cure for whatever it is that ails you. Whatever it is that makes you sick. Jeremiah chapter 8, drop down to verse 22. Jeremiah sums up his plea with the people. And he says in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Even in the late hour, even when judgment appeared to be imminent, Jeremiah said there is still a cure, there is still hope, there is still an answer. If you're willing to listen, the cure is available, it is here, there is hope. And all they needed to do was turn to the hope. This morning, let me say this. I don't care what situation you personally find yourself in today. I don't care if it is a situation that has been brought about by sin or a situation or circumstance that has come in from the outside. Whatever is true in your life, in the words of my mother, whatever is ailing you, I can guarantee, based upon the pages of Scripture, that there is a cure for what ails you. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, my marriage is troubled, may I say, on the basis of the Word of God, there is a cure for an ailing marriage. Someone says, Pastor, but my kids are having problems. They're not what they ought to be. May I say this morning, there is a cure for an ailing family. Whatever the problem is, you have not gone so far, but that you cannot know the cure of God. And Jeremiah, in the 11th hour, speaking to the nation of Judah, said, if you will yet repent, if you'll turn to the balm of Gilead, if you'll seek the help of the great physician, there is yet a cure and an answer. There is a cure for whatever ails you. Let's look at some thoughts regarding this. Number one this morning, number one is this. The world is hurting and injured. In Jeremiah chapter 8, Jeremiah described Judah as having been injured. How did she get injured? She was injured by her own sin. Now follow me on this, folks. For every sin, there is a consequence. We always pay a price for sin. In Jeremiah chapter 8, he described that price for sin as it were a snake bite. I have never been bitten by a snake, and I hope never to be. I've seen documentaries as to what can happen when an individual is bitten by a snake. And the snake bite, by the way, is very swift. When that snake reaches out and bites, very swift. They say the speed is incredible. And the jaws are very powerful. And the jaws bite, and in those snakes that are venomous, they insert the teeth or the venom, the part that produces the venom that is inserted into the body, and the venom is instantly shot into the body of that individual before you even know it. Sin is the same way. It's described that way in Jeremiah chapter 8. He says, the snakes have bitten you, and you're about to face the consequences of their venom. Now you say, Pastor, that's a serious situation. Doctors tell us that in the case of a snake bite, depending upon what it is that bites you, you have a very limited time when you can get to the doctor before neurological damage begins to take place. The toxins that enter your body go into the neurological system and begin to decimate that system. And depending on the snake, you have limited time. For Israel, she had reached the very brink of that limit, and yet God said there is still a cure. The world is hurting. It is injured. Sin is the ultimate source of this injury, but not just the world. It also applies to the church. Remember to whom Jeremiah was writing. He was writing to the Old Testament people of God, and he said, Old Testament people of God, you have sinned. Follow me on this. We should never become smug in our spirituality. Because the truth of the matter is, every person in this room still has a sin nature. And every one of us is still affected by sin. Oh, and may I say this, Christian, don't pass judgment on the fallen. I hope you heard what I said. Don't pass judgment. Well, Pastor, you know, they would just get right with God, blah, blah, blah. Okay, listen. Rather than voice it to other people, why don't you pray for that one that has a need? There are people, even in this church, who because they've made unwise choices, because they let their flesh carry them a certain direction, and by the way, which one of us has not? Understand here, there's no one perfect here. By the way, if you're perfect, you need to leave. You're among a bunch of people whose imperfections are going to rub off on you. You stay away from me especially, all right? And I promise, if you're perfect, I'm going to purposely try to rub imperfection off on you. I'm going to do it. I met a guy in college, and he was of the Wesleyan persuasion, and he told me in college, he said, Mark, my sin nature's been eradicated. I never sin, never. He said, I've never sinned. This is a young man, about my age at the time, college age. He said, I never sin. I looked at him, and I said, oh, yeah, I want to bet. He's a preacher, what did you do? I became the devil's advocate. I decided I was going to get him to sin. Preacher, that's awful. Well, you know, I'm an awful person. So we had a good time together. Actually, one day I saw him in class. He was studying for a different class during a lecture. The teacher was giving a lecture, and he was studying for a different class. And that strictly rules against that. You can't look at other class notes when a teacher's lecturing. And I leaned over and I said, hey, I think you're sinning. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, you know the rule, you can't study for another class. And he got all upset about it, and he stopped, put that all away. And afterwards, he came up to me, he said, Mark, he said, I want you to know, he said, I wasn't sinning. He said, that was just a mistake. Well, amen, I make a lot of mistakes too. So, moving right along. The world is hurting, the church is hurting, and sometimes, oftentimes, as a result of sin. But you know what the good news is in verse 22? There is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. The world is hurting. But the good news is this, and this is idea number two. The cure exists. The cure exists. Look at verse number 22. Jeremiah says, is there no balm in Gilead? You say, preacher, what is the balm of Gilead? Well, it is first mentioned in Genesis chapter 37, verse 25. There we have the Ishmaelite Arabs who were actually carrying in an Arab camel train, perhaps, this precious balm that was most likely produced in Gilead. Now, I did a lot of research in relationship to this and was not able to determine exactly what this balm was. The nature of this balm is unknown. There are some people that have ideas, but apparently it had two properties. Property number one, it was soothing and healing. That would be perhaps as it is applied, almost like we would apply a salve today to an open wound. That balm would be applied and it had a healing property. It also had a property as a painkiller. Another place in the Bible indicates that this made someone not to feel the pain. It dulled or deadened the pain. Whatever the nature of that balm, the cure existed and it was well known. We read about that in Genesis 37:25. Also, when you have Jacob sending gifts to Joseph, one of the things included, the Bible says, in that gift is this balm. So there was this healing balm that was famous in Gilead. We do not know the nature of it, but its properties were renowned for their healing. In other words, if you were ill, if you had an injury, perhaps it was effective even in the snake bite mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 8, if you went to Gilead or had some of the balm of Gilead and applied that, the cure was known and it would bring a cure. It's amazing how we seek for a cure for cancer, don't we? It has been elusive. People are researching and drugs are being invented. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a cure for cancer? Oh, preacher, if there was a cure for cancer, it would be wonderful. I mean, just a pill that folks could take and that cancer would be eradicated from their system. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes, it would. But you know what is strange about that? There would still be some people who wouldn't take the cure. It's exactly what Jeremiah is saying in Jeremiah chapter 8. He says, is there no balm in Gilead? In other words, isn't there a cure? Isn't there an answer? Judah, you're about to be overrun by the Babylonians. Judah, you'll be carried captivity. Judah, your temple worship will cease. Judah, you're about to fall into the greatest judgment that God has brought on the nation heretofore. And yet there is a cure. And he ends verse 22 by saying, why are you still sick? Wouldn't it be foolish if a cure were available to remain still sick? There is a cure. You say, preacher, what is the cure? For us today, the cure is the book that I'm holding in my hand. I want you to listen carefully, please. Every troubled marriage in this room can be cured by the balm of the book that I hold in my hand. Every troubled soul in this room can be cured by this balm. Every person who has guilt in this room today can be cured by the healing balm of the Word of God. Every person in this room who has a family issue with your kids, the Bible can answer that problem. Or a work issue or a relationship issue. Hear me. There is nothing that the Bible can't cure. Now, it has to be applied. And it must be applied over the long haul. Not just once in a while, but over the long haul. But there is nothing that rightly applied this Bible cannot cure. It speaks to all of the conditions of man. Some years ago, I was diagnosed with a bronchitis. How many of you ever had bronchitis? You ever have? You know, I get that sometimes in the winter. And I had bronchitis, and it was pretty bad. And it takes a lot to get me to go to the doctor. I don't like the poking and the prodding and the questions I don't like the fact that I am there because I'm coughing and yet they make you get on a scale. I didn't come for that. Nothing to do with my weight, but they always make you do that. But it was bad enough. I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me a course of antibiotics. And he warned me, he said, and all of you know exactly what I'm talking about, he said, you have to finish the whole course. And so I took one, and in two or three days, you know, I took one a day or two a day, however many, and in two or three days, man, I felt better. Wow, the cough is gone. Boy, improved. And you know what I did? I stopped taking them. You know what happened? The sickness came back with a vengeance. He actually had to give me a stronger antibiotic because I didn't finish the course. Now watch this. For every problem of life, there is a cure. When you apply the Bible to life's problems, you have to finish the course. In other words, you have to be consistent. You have to take the medicine day by day and over the long haul. There is a cure, and it is the Bible. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 8, as he was preaching the very words of God, and he said to the people at this late hour, he said, there is yet a cure if you'll turn in repentance and belief of the word of God. In this late hour, God will stay his hand of judgment. The cure exists. And yet at the end of verse 22, he says, then why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? They're hurting people today. The cure exists. But number three, I want you to notice that the cure is readily available. Look at verse number 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Gilead was a little town just east of Jordan. It was a small town, and perhaps some would say, well, Pastor, to get there, I'd have to go out of my way. Well, not really. Gilead was a little community that was located on a major trade route. Again, Genesis 37 tells us that there were Arab traders that passed through there. They apparently picked up a supply of this balm of Gilead and would carry it along the trade route, making business deals with folks far and near so that this product was spread wildly about. But Gilead was the place or the hub of this product's existence. In other words, there was a large supply of the balm available in Gilead. Now tune in. There is no nation like the United States of America that has the healing balm. The answer for every one of our problems more readily available. There is no place you can go today, no country in the world, where the Bible is more freely preached. There is no country in the world where the Word of God is more propagated. You can turn on your television, there are myriads, some good, some bad, and certainly a lot ugly, of televangelists, but there's still some that preach the Word of God. You can purchase in stores today CDs that have the Word of God read, so you don't even have to read it. You can listen to the Word of God. The other day I saw an interesting product. The Bible is now on DVD. Did you know that? The King James Bible. It's somebody actually acting out the King James Bible, word for word King James, but acting it out, professional actors, there's background music, and you put it on your TV set DVD, and the scripture verses come up. As they're being read, the scripture verses come up on your television set in large print. Isn't that amazing? For someone who has difficulty reading or has difficulty seeing, by the way, the entire King James Bible, I think, was $30. I'm not selling. I mean, you'll have to figure, I don't even know who is, but saw this as a product. $30. There's no place in the world where the Bible is more readily available. How many of us have several Bibles on our shelves or on the coffee table? Now watch this. Here's the balm. It's readily available, and yet as a nation, we have incredible problems. We're not healed. May I say why? We're not taking the cap off the medicine. We're not opening the medicine. We're not going to get the medicine, though it's in incredible abundance. Where else is the medicine abundant? Let me tell you where it's abundant. It's abundant in the church. The balm came from Gilead. This was a hub of the manufacture of this particular healing balm that had been so famous in the ancient world. There was a place where it was concentrated because it was manufactured there, and that was Gilead. There is no nation on the face of the globe that has more churches than the United States of America. There is no place where there are more Bible-believing places where people gather than the United States of America. And someone says, Pastor, I don't understand everything in the Bible. Okay, it's difficult sometimes. But you have a church, And in your church is a concentration of the Word of God. Hear me, folks. It's not a lack of the Bible. The cure is available, and the cure is readily available. And here at the church, there's a concentration. There is Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. There's Wednesday. By the way, come back tonight. I'm preaching on the topic, decisions, 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 how to make a biblical choice. Boy, you need to be here for the message tonight. Now, the problem, the reason we're still sick, is not because there isn't a cure. The cure exists. And it's not because the cure isn't readily available. We all have Bibles. And we have churches. But for some reason, back to Jeremiah 22, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The prophet wonders why, when the answer is so readily available. Quickly, number four, not only is the world hurting, but a cure exists. The cure is readily available, but quickly, number four, the physician stands ready to administer the cure. Look again with me at verse number 22. The prophet says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? I don't have time to turn to it this morning, but in Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, Jesus is eating with publicans and sinners. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they question him and they say, Christ, why are you, if you're a righteous man, why are you eating with these sinners? And Jesus turns to them and he responds, they that be whole, or that are healthy, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not, Jesus said, to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus Christ is the great physician. Why are our homes in shambles and our marriages troubled? Why are we troubled emotionally on the inside and distressed because of guilt? Why is there a hurt and a wound in our life that will not be healed when the answer is readily available, when the cure exists, and hear me, when Jesus Christ stands ready and prepared to administer the cure? Folks, follow me on this. Sometimes we all need to go to the doctor. As I said a moment ago, I don't enjoy it. But every once in a while, when things get bad enough, I'll go to the doctor, and guess what? He knows just the cure to administer. And when I get the prescription, I read on the outside, and sometimes I'll talk to the pharmacist, and I'll read on the outside, and it tells just exactly what to do. Do you know that Jesus Christ Himself stands ready to administer the cure? You don't have to figure it all out for yourself, but Jesus Himself stands ready. The Bible calls Jesus the Wonderful Counselor. He is the one to whom we can come and turn in a personal relationship. My answers do not come from human counsel. My answer can come from Jesus Christ as I know Him on a personal level. Jesus Christ stands ready as the great physician to administer the cure. He is eager to administer the balm to your soul. In fact, when Jesus left this world, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter. That is the Holy Spirit of God. The Greek word for comforter is the word paraclete, and it means one who is called alongside to help. For the believer, I not only have the balm of the Word of God, I not only know the great physician as my Savior, but I have the Holy Spirit of God called alongside to help me apply that balm every single day. What an arsenal I have in my fight against the disease of sin. And yet in verse 22, the prophet says, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? We're all hurting and we admit it. We know that the cure exists. The cure is readily available. The physician, Jesus Christ, stands ready to administer the cure. Preacher, everything has been set for our healing. Why do people still labor on in their illness? Here's the reason. Illness prevails, and I'm speaking spiritually, of course. Illness prevails because of an unwillingness to submit to the doctor and the cure. That is the problem. He says in verse 22, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? There's a physician, there's a balm, it's readily available, they're hurting. Why isn't it recovered? Because of an unwillingness to submit to the physician and to the cure. Years ago, I was working with a family that came in on our bus ministry at our church in Minneapolis. This was a troubled family, somewhat dysfunctional. The man was very heavy. He was overweight. And he was the kind of guy that got stressed out about things very easily. You could almost see the blood pressure rise as the color of his face would turn beet red if he were ever angry or excited over something. And his wife told me numerous times, she said, "Preacher, it's only a matter of time before he just explodes. He gets so angry." And she was worried about his heart and she was worried about his health and all these conditions. Well, sure enough, one day he was in a terrible fit of pain in his chest, just incredible pain. His wife called me, said, "Pastor, could you come over? My husband's in great pain." I said, "Listen, I'll come over." She described it, but I said, "I want you to call 911. I'll be there in a little bit, but call 911. Get them out there. It sounds like he's having a heart attack." I rushed to the house. Just as I pulled up, the ambulance pulled up. Now, this man, I don't know if it was a heart attack. It may have been, but this man was in excruciating pain. But you talk about stubborn. He came out on the front porch and he was holding his chest. And as the ambulance men were getting out of the ambulance, he was holding his chest and with his fist in the air, he was yelling, "I refuse medical attention." And you know what I thought? I thought, how dumb. Dumb. And he refused. We don't know what it was to this day. Rumor has it he's still alive. But he refused. Wouldn't be seen. The paramedics came up on the porch. "I refuse medical attention!" As he's clutching his chest. He goes, "Preacher, what did you do?" "I just went back to the church. There's not much cure for dumb. And I just went back to church." He never did get his medical attention. I think he's still kicking around. Here's my point. We laugh. We say, "Man, that guy was nuts. I mean, he had chest pains and all the signs, you know, of something going on. He was crazy." We do the exact same thing. We do the exact same thing. We're hurting. We have problems, sometimes brought about by sin, sometimes not, but we're wounded. We know in our minds that there is a cure, the balm of Gilead. We know in our minds that there is a physician, Jesus Christ, who will administer the balm. We know that there's even a place where we can come where there's a concentration of the balm, where we'll have it applied Sunday after Sunday to the heart's need. And we have these problems, and some of us will come to church and say, "I refuse medical attention." Some of us will say, "I don't like the cure." Some of us will say, "I don't like the prescription." May I say this? The most effective prescriptions are the ones that are the most distasteful. How many remember cod liver oil? Ooh, as my mama would say, it's good for whatever ails you. Oh, Pastor, that's an awful prescription. But it's sometimes a thing that is needed. Now watch me. In answer to Jeremiah's question, verse 22, why are we not healed? Here's the answer. Because we refuse to submit to the prescription, to the medicine, and to the doctor. What happened to the nation of Judah? They were carried away captive. Thousands were killed. Others were enslaved. The nation was decimated. All worship of Jehovah had ceased, and all of their identity as a nation was nearly obliterated as the Babylonian army stormed the gates of Jerusalem and decimated the country. And it all happened because they didn't like the prescription. Now, folks, hear me, and I'm done. This book is good for what ails you. Get under the prescription. Seek the great physician. Get where there's a concentration of this balm of Gilead. And know you can be healed. "Preacher, it's just too late. I pushed it too far. It's gone so far." Jeremiah told his people in the 11th hour, if you'll get back to where you need to be with God and the Bible, the cure is still possible. One more word and I'm finished. There is hope for every person in this room. No one is without hope. Father, I pray you'll take the Word of God today Help us, Lord, not to be like that man who refused medical attention in stubbornness and pride and whatever other issues he had. Father, help us to be those who understand that we're hurting somewhere, perhaps hurting deeply. Help us to be those who understand that the Bible does have the answer, that it is the cure. That, Lord, only a consistent application of the cure can ultimately restore to health. It's not just a one-time dose. But, Father, help us to understand today that our great physician loves us. Lord Jesus, maybe there's someone who does not know the great physician here today. I pray you'd help them to turn to Christ. Lord, the Son of God came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to hearts through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, everyone.